Yeah, you know, I don't know what to look at the tape and see. I just, you know, just try to focus on, you know, the things that I could do better. And so I'm not sure what the issue was. Obviously, they're a really good front like we talked about. And so, you know, they can create problems, and they were able to do that today. But I don't know, you know, as far as the penalties and stuff like that, we just got to get it cleaned up.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 216-578-0850. Save the date. The Cleveland Browns food drive is Sunday, November the 1st, before the Browns and the Cardinals, with volunteers collecting non-perishable food items and cash donations at the gates of First Energy Stadium from 11 a.m. through kickoff to benefit the greater Cleveland Food Bank. Bring your food donations on Sunday, November the 1st. You heard from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. You heard from Josh McCown just there on our way back. We do want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. And you know, people keep tweeting me, Matt. They want to hear my Mike Pettine sound more angry, a little bit more fired up. Does that happen? And how does that play? Is that something that's maybe happening behind closed doors that we don't know about?
It does happen. And I think if those same listeners tune in on Thursday and listen to the coordinators, you know, I think the coordinators' personalities are conveyed very, very well. And John DeFilippo talked, you know, admits making mistakes, a bad play call here or there, talks up his players, and then gets into the X's and O's, and he's for the most part, a straight shooter. And I'm not trying to say Jim O'Neill's not. Jim O'Neill, in some cases, is a straight shooter, but he's the more of the emotional, high, fast-talking, you know, chip-on-his-shoulder kind of conversation with the media, you know. And in some cases, no one wants to have a conversation that's negative about what you're doing, about your guys. So it is it's an awkward room each and every week, coming after, you know, off of a loss, giving up another 150 plus or 140 plus yards on the ground. The one thing that I will say in thinking about wanting that out of Mike Pettine, it's got to come natural. You want it to come natural from a head coach, and that's something that, you know, do I know Mike Pettine? Sure. Do I know him like other people in this building know him? No. So I don't know if he has that side in, you know, if somebody cuts him off in traffic, does he get pissed and you know, beep his horn and get angry and get a little bit of road rage? I don't know, you know. So you would think with his job on the line and the way that they're playing right now, that emotion would be expected, but that might just not be him. And I think the last thing you want him to do is force it, because then he's not being real to us as fans or analysts, and that means in some cases he could be forcing it or faking it to his players as well.
It's a tough thing. There's a tough balance, because right now you got to think things are kind of teetering on the edge, and you want to make sure you don't lose your team, but you got to find a way to motivate them to get out the faster starts and just play better football. Kevin in North Olmsted, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Listen, first of all, kudos to you too and to your producers and everybody, because the show has gotten so much better over the last year, and it's a great presentation, especially with what you're charged with reporting on a daily basis.
Thank you.
I'd like to start. You're quite welcome. Obviously, I could go into a million things, including the offensive line, but I'd like to start by saying I truly like Mike Pettine. I think he's a real coach. And, you know, if we ever want to attain some of the things that we all wish for, like along the Belichick lines, I think, you know, Belichick's the only coach who's been able to truly implement a so-called hybrid defense. And to me, it has really more to do with him successfully implementing a team-first system from top to bottom than anything else. But I guess, you know, what concerns me most about Coach Pettine is that he comes mainly from the Rex Ryan tree of coaches. And, you know, Rob's performance is awful. Well, I mean, obviously here in Cleveland and now at the Saints and on and on. And, you know, while Rex, you know, inherited this very powerful defense, they're 24th, 25th, whatever they are in the league in sacks, they're doing better against the run in certain areas. But again, look at this, look at the amount of money that's been invested in that defense even before Rex ever got there. So I guess I'd like your thoughts about this hybrid approach. It's a game plan approach. I understand it's made up for the opponent you're facing, but what are your thoughts about the long-term implementation of such a strategy based on what we know? Thanks, guys.
You know, what's interesting is you look at the rankings right now. Buffalo, number four in total yards per game, number three in yards per play, number four in rushing yards per game, number six in rush yards per attempt, number nine in passing, number four in passing net yards per play. So they
11th in total defense.
The Buffalo Bills?
Correct.
This isn't the numbers I was given, were the AFC numbers, right?
Yeah.
11th in total defense, not terrible, but you do wonder at some point if this is a defense that is being figured out to the point where, as everything in the NFL is, schemes are able to be successful, and then they move on. Now, one area where it's clearly better than the Browns is it is the number five rush defense in the National Football League. Now, they've got on that Buffalo defense Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, Jerry Hughes,
Marcell
Darius. They have four legitimate bad mofos.
All of those guys are making each pieces. $8 to $12 million a year.
Foundation pieces. Correct. On that defense. The Browns right now, you would say, have zero. You
yes.
have to say zero. Danny Shelton is trying to be, you know, that. Hopefully, certainly he was drafted to be that. Will he be? We won't know for a while, but right now the Browns don't have anybody like that in the front of their defense.
Not yet.
And it's interesting when you go back and look at the Buffalo Bills in the year with Mike Pettine, they were 52 sacks tops in the league, but that was the 26th ranked run defense with those same guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And every scheme is a variation of it, as you know. There's not just one way to play it. Everybody puts their own stamp, as you've talked about with Jim O'Neill, et cetera, probably putting his own stamp on the Mike Pettine one. So it's tough, but they've got to figure this out. If this team wants to turn it around on any level, they've got to figure it out. You went through the schedule for the Cleveland Browns coming up. You've got Arizona with Chris Johnson, Andre Ellington, David Johnson, who have been running the ball very, very effectively. You turn around and you come back after that, and you've got, you know, Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. You come back after that, and you have got, so let's look at this right now. Rushing yards per game. You've got Arizona, who right now is number 12. We talked about Cincinnati, number 11. Baltimore is number 17. The Pittsburgh Steelers are number 9. So we're talking about four in a row against the top half of the National Football League in terms of running the football. Not to mention you've still got Seattle on the schedule. They're the number 2 rushing offense in the NFL. You've got the 49ers, who are 18. But you aren't going to have any more of these games against teams that are, you know, bottom of the league in running the football like you did earlier in the year when you had San Diego, who was down there. You had the Oakland Raiders, who were down there. So this is that part of the schedule has come and gone
yes.
for this team. The part of the schedule where you're facing teams that can absolutely run the football is upon you. And the Cleveland Browns are going to need to figure out a way to combat that, or it is going to be a long rest of this season.
And I don't think that that's possible. You don't change who a player is midseason and ask him to do something that he's never done before through the last 5 months in preparation for exactly where we're at right now. And I don't think you can necessarily do that to the scheme. Small little tweaks and small little technique changes is about the extent of what you can do other than scrapping a heavy portion of your game plan and only focusing on, you know, 40% of the, or, you know, maybe 80% that you carry from a week-to-week game plan basis.
The tough part about it is that you say that, but every time they turn around and hand the ball off to Todd Gurley, it's 11-on-9.
Yes.
Every time they turn the ball and hand it off, it's 11-on-9. You've got to find a way to win. Got to find a way to win. It's just that simple. It's 11-on-9. You've got to find a way to win in the run defensive game. 216-578-0850. Did we do Bob in Rocky River? All right, Bob, what's going on, brother?
I got some answers for you, and it comes down to basic things both on offense and defense. There's too many gaps in the offensive line. Our quarterbacks get too quickly, and same thing with getting to our running backs. We got to fill the gaps on offensive line, on our defensive line, and that'll solve 90% of our problems.
But when you say fill in those gaps, you've got, let's look at the offensive line. You've got a Pro Bowl left tackle, your second round pick at guard, a first round pick and a Pro Bowler at center.
Yeah.
You've got John Greco. You've got Mitchell Schwartz, a second round pick. You've got Cam Irving, who you drafted. And by the way, when he's been out there and those jumbo packages has looked completely lost and just falls down a lot. And yeah. And then defensively, you used the 12th overall pick in the draft. You traded up in the third round to get Xavier Cooper. You signed Randy Starks.
It's you not paid like, Dez Bryant.
It's not like you're not putting resources at those spots.
Right, we're putting resources, but the configuration that we have them in their positions is the problem.
You're saying they're spacing?
Their spacing is the problem. That's what the problem is. Their spacing. I've talked to college football coaches and high school and Pee Wee League. It's in the damn spacing.
All right.
Both on offense and defense. It's the spacing. We got receivers. We have the guy now, the white guy that just lost his helmet, got kicked in the mouth. He had another 100-yard game.
That'll be our tight end, Gary Barnage. I mean, I don't even know. Matt, we got to go to Matt in Greenwich. That can't be our last caller today. Matt, what's up, brother?
Nathan, how you guys doing?
Thank Good.
You
how are you
on the show? Or I actually met you at FanFest, by the way.
Nice.
But I want you guys' thoughts on this. You know, and I agree with Jim Donovan. You have to play Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert to know what you have in them. And you would think that Ray Farmer would be thinking the same thing. How are we going to know if we have to go out and get another quarterback if we do not see what Johnny has? You have to play him the rest of the season. We're 2-5 right now. I hate to say it's over with, but, I mean, we're on the back end, you know. And I just – and on the defensive note, I don't – It just seems like the players aren't buying into the scheme, you know, and I like Petten. I love Coach Petten, but I mean, do you make a change at the end of the year? You know, and I want your guys' opinions on all that.
Well, fortunately that is not my decision to make, but I can tell you that, you know, the way things are happening right now are not good. And what troubles me the most about this team is that it's just not doing what it set out to do. And when you're supposed to be dominant up front, that's great. And you're supposed to be able to run the football. That's great. And you're supposed to be one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL. And you will stop the run. You will stop the run. The coaches can't go out there and play.
Right.
People need to remember that. But at some point, you know, if it's not the players, or maybe it is on the players, and if it's not on the players, then they're not being put in the right spots. But something has got to change, or else this team is going to continue to drift along here and not improve. You say you can't do new things. Every team in the NFL can stop the run. It's a matter of wanting to do it.
It is.
And doing it.
And you're right in your point in saying that the coaches can't play the game, but the coaches can put you in an advantageous opportunity to succeed and not ask you to do something that you're not capable of doing or you're not comfortable with. And I'm not saying the Cleveland Brown coaches do that, because that obviously is a recipe for disaster and why a team wants to lose or wants to set you up to fail. And I'm not saying that's the case, but I think – and our bye week coming late this year may work as a disadvantage for us to take time and truly self-evaluate what we're doing and who we are and the tweaks coming out after the bye that could potentially happen with Jim O'Neill and John DeFilippo, both offensively and defensively. It will be too little too late.
Yes, it will be. All right, one more chance to get your final thoughts in here. We'll hand out game balls, 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.